You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Amen. God is good. And so if you've got your Bibles, 1 Peter 1 verse 13, 1 Peter 1 verse 13, we are in a series that we've called Brand New. And on the front of the design, basically we're saying that we've been given a brand new life and we have everything to live for. How many believe that? That in Christ, you've been given a brand new life. And I want to let you, if you don't hear anything today, I hope you hear more than this, but if you do not hear anything today, in Christ, you can have a brand new life and you can have everything to live for. And so we're speaking about this. Last week, we speaked about a new hope. How many have a new hope? We thank God that we have a hope which is more than just what the world has. And so we spoke about that, but I want to speak about something different connected to being brand new. A few years ago, we went on an impact team to Mandeville. And so we had a good time. Pastor Jay was there, and we had a good crowd that came with us. But what had happened is just before I had gone on this impact team, I had upgraded my iPhone. How many of us good to have an upgrade? Amen. I like the upgrades. How many have ever rung up EE and they're like, no, one more month, or and you're vexed. You wrongly calculated it. And so, but you know, it's good to have an upgrade. And so it was my turn. And so I had an upgrade. And so I got this new iPhone, of course. You know, you got to keep what it is. Amen. They tried to tempt me with these other manufacturers. But, you know, the devil is still out there, always trying to tempt us, man. Amen. But the Bible says in the book of James, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. And so I said, no, iPhone. And so I upgraded my iPhone, brand new iPhone, dude, and the camera's better, the pixels are better. You know, half the things on there, they say it's better. I don't know if it was better, but... And so here I am now. So I'm going to go to Jamaica. And so we go to Mandeville, and I've got my new iPhone. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be able to take good pictures, and I'm going to come back. And what I'd realized as I was unpacking in the hotel is that I had not brought the charger. And so I brought my iPad as well, and usually my iPad and my iPhone would use the same charger. But this was when, those of you that are truly saved and you have an iPhone, you'll remember when, amen, amen, don't worry, man. You'll remember when iPhone used to have those big chargers. Remember that connection that is fat? It would go in the box, and then they made it slim. And that was the iPhone. I had gone from the big fat charger to the slim one. You can see how technical I am, the fat one to the slim one. There's probably a technical name for it. But and so I've gone from that one. So my iPad still had the fat charger, and so I brought one charger to charge both of them. But now, as soon as I arrived, I said to Jay, listen, we need to get a charger. But you got to know this, is that I'm in Mandeville. Mandeville is like a suburb in Jamaica. And so I'm going everywhere. The iPhone has only been out for like a few weeks. And everywhere, they only had the old charger. And so here I am with this brand new iPhone, pixels, this and that. And I'm looking at it going down, the energy. I'm taking pictures quickly, and it's going down. And you know, you start to turn off all the other apps, and you're reducing everything. You're turning the screen down. You can barely see it. Trying to save the battery, and then it's like 3%, 1%, and one. Yeah, I'm filming. Oh, this is a good impact team. And then the rest of the impact team, I'm walking around with an iPad, filming with the iPad. And I was thinking about that, how here I have this new iPhone, but I'm still stuck with an old charger. And because I've got an old charger with a new iPhone, eventually that new iPhone ran out. The energy ran out. And there are some of you here today is that, yes, you may have a new life in Christ. But I want to tell you, if you try to put the old mind connected to the new life, that new life is going to run out. And there are people here, you're trying to connect the old mindset to new life in Christ. You cannot live the new life with the old mind. Look at someone and say, you need to change your mind. First Peter 1 verse 13, look what we're going to read in there. Remember, we're just going through the book of Peter. We're just going into the Bible. How many know it's Bible time? Hallelujah. Look at someone say, I like it when it's Bible time. I like it. Amen. We can come with all the everythings, but when it's Bible time, we get excited. First Peter 1 verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. We pray for revelation today. I really do pray, Father, that you would touch, Father, our minds, the spiritual mind. Father, that we would see you high and lifted up. Father, we need a new mind. Father, we need our minds changed, cleansed, sanctified, purified. Father, let revival start in the mind. Father, let our thinking change. Father, let our thoughts be on you. Let our thoughts be upon you and magnify you. Father, I really do ask you right now, help me in this time. Help me with this message. Do what you've sought to accomplish. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me say this to you today is that, and I made a statement, you can't live the new life with the old mind. And in our text, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. And so this is Old Testament, sorry, this is Old English, gird up the loins of your mind. And you know, I like to do illustrations, and I was going to try, and so baby, in Bible times, they used to wear these big long, they didn't have trousers and all of that, and so they'd have a big long coat and thing that they would wear, like a dress, we would think. And I was thinking maybe to get a guy up here and put him in a dress, and then after, my wife's like, no, you can't do that to any guys. So just imagine, Bible times, when you was going to run, you had to get this thing that you're wearing and wrap it up, tie it up around your loins, around your waist, so that you could run. Because if you was going to run or get in a fight or get in a battle and something would get caught, you'd get messed up. And so when he's using this analogy, he's saying, get your mind together. Gather up your mind. He's saying your mind is important. See, you need, and I need, to change our minds to change our life. You've got to understand this. You've got to change your mind to change your life. Now, let's go into another text, Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And we're going to read this text. Have we got that there? Okay. I'm going to read it with you. I'm going to look at what you're looking at. It says, do not be conformed, that means molded, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, keep that up there, please. Look what it says here. It says, for me and you to do the will of God. How many know we need to do the will of God? We need to do the will of God. For me and you to do the will of God, we need to be transformed. You can't do the will of God unless you're transformed. The word transformed in the Greek is metamorphosis. This is the same thing when you see a caterpillar. Remember, I remember back in school, caterpillars. How many remember those little things? Caterpillars back in school. And so caterpillars, and they're going around, and then they go into this pupa stage. Remember that? They start to, I don't know how they did it, I can't remember, but there's some teachers here that you know, you've taught the kids, and they go into this what was it, chrysalis or whatever it is, this pupa stage, it's all coming back to me, and then nothing is happening, and then all of a sudden you see them start to move and shuffle, and it's breaking, and then a butterfly comes out. That's metamorphosis. That's what we're saying. God wants to transform you. See, if God wants you to fly, you can't fly like a caterpillar. We can throw you in the air as a caterpillar. How many know you're coming back down? How many know you're coming back down? For a little while, you're like, yeah, woo! You're coming back down. And this is how some Christians are. You're trying to fly, but you're still a caterpillar. God says, no, if you're going to fly, you've got to be transformed. We've got to transform you into something different. See, this is why we're not just trying to conform. There's two words there, conform and transform. Transform means you become totally different. Conform means you act like you are different. You act for a while. Some people are acting today. They've come to church. You've conformed. But we don't want you to conform. We want you to be transformed. Because you can conform and please me. You can come and shake my hand and give me some scriptures. How you doing? I'm too blessed to be stressed. You good? By his grace. And you can say all of that, and then you leave here and do a madness. And one day you're going to stand before God, and you can't be on judgment day, I'm too blessed to be stressed. God will be like, no, depart. And so we need to be transformed. But look what it says here. It doesn't say just transform yourself. Be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. When your mind is changed, then you will change. You will not change until your mind has been renewed. You cannot do the will of God until your mind has been renewed. You will not fly like a butterfly until your mind has been renewed. See, this is why it's so important to renew the mind. Let's think about the mind for a bit. And I want to get a little bit scientific here, but bear with me. See, let's think about how we think. Think about how we think. Is that usually how we learned to walk and talk as kids, and then we learned how to motor skills and how to do things and open a door and press a button, and we learn these things. And then once we start to learn stuff, what do? We basically use what we did in the past and we project it into the future. Now, let me give you an illustration. If I've learned how to open a door, the next day I get up, I don't have to relearn it. Like, do I push this thing? I'm trapped. What's this thing? I don't have to learn it. If I've learned it once, I just copy and paste. I did this yesterday, I can do it today. That's why when they teach you, that's why school is all about, if we teach you how to add now, if we teach you how to read now, you won't have to come back. That's what it is. So basically, the way the mind works is I learn from my past and I project it into my future. And so really what the mind is always doing is copy, paste. Something like copy and paste. Someone sends you some long text, you got to send someone else, forward that baby. How many know that? Some of you are like Bible scholars now. You know why? You didn't write that text, you copied it. I just wanted to send you this text. The Bible says, you found on the internet, copy, paste. All of a sudden you're a theologian now. Copy and paste, that's what we're doing. We're copying and pasting what we've learned. Now, this is what happens. We get to an age now, we grow up, and then every day we're kind of doing the same thing. We get up, we brush our teeth, amen. Praise God. Any single men here, brush your teeth, amen. And so we get up, we brush our teeth, we wash our body, we do our thing, we have our breakfast, we go out the door, we get the bus, we go to school, we go to work, we get back, we come back, da da da, and we do that again. And we start to do that so many times that now we're just copying and pasting every day. We're not thinking anymore. We go through the motions. We're not really thinking anymore. This is why you ask many people, how many books have you read this year? Because we don't really want to think anymore. I just want to copy and paste. I just want to go through life without thinking. And so we go through work without thinking, as long as the boss does the thinking for us. We talk about being an entrepreneur or one day owning my own business. To do that, you're going to have to think for yourself. That's the reality. You got to think for yourself, but the body's like, no, let's just copy and paste. Let's just keep coming back here. In your relationships, in your marriage, with your kids, you've got to think. You can't just copy and paste. Even coming to church, and so much of our life, now we're in a program. It's like a program of a computer. You start the computer, the little wheel is running, the clock is running, things are running, and it just does the same thing all the time. We've now, in a program, we can get to the point where we're really not thinking anymore, not cognizantly, not intelligently, not proactively. What we're doing is we're just copying and paste every single day, every moment of the day, and life becomes one big habit. It's just a habit. I can do it without thinking. You know, me and my wife, you know, many of you know, we live quite far. We moved just before we took over the church, and we've just been traveling backward and forward, and one day God will deliver us, amen. But, so my journey to church is just over an hour, and we drive. And sometimes I've been thinking about things as I'm going home, and I arrive home, and I said to my wife, it's like I've just driven on autopilot. How many of you have ever done that? It's like you're not even thinking, really. It's like, it's just autopilot. And if you're not a driver, you're like, that's a bit scary. I don't want to get in the car with him. You're not thinking. And I said to my wife, I don't know how we got here. She went, listen, you better start thinking. I'm getting an Uber. And so you're on autopilot, and that's how life is. And life becomes one big habit. Now, why is that such a bad thing? Because this is what happens. From time to time, brief moments, something comes into your consciousness, I need to change. I need to change the way I live. I need to do more. A thought comes in, I need to do more with my life. I was made for more. Something comes into your mind, maybe it's to do with your health. I need to go on a diet. I need to eat better. I need to do better at work. I should go for that promotion. And these thoughts come into our mind, but how many know they're so hard to carry out? Because we are stuck in a habit. See, the old mind, all the old mind wants to do is copy and paste. You have an idea. You know what? I think, I'm going to go on a diet. So you get up in the morning and you say, you know what? Let me think about this. What should I have? Let me look at my calories. Let me figure this out. How many know it's hard? You got to start thinking. But you know what? The mind says, that's too much work. Come on. You had a donut yesterday. Have a donut today. I don't have to think about that. Let's have a donut. Copy, paste. Out the door. Let's go for a run. Yeah, let's go for a run. I'm going to go for a run tomorrow. Alarm sets. Alarm goes off. Beep, beep, beep. Got to put those trainers on. Put that tracksuit on. Go out the door. You know what the mind says? No. Do what you did yesterday. Snooze. Copy, paste. And life goes on like this. And this is why we find, how come the good things I want to do and the changes I want to make are so hard? Because you're stuck in a program. You're just going through the motions. Basically, you're in a rut. See, in Peter, he says in 1 verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed yourself to the former lusts in ignorance. See, what's happened is you've been conformed now. You're not really thinking with your cognizant mind. You're thinking with your lower nature. You're basically just stuck in this rut, this loop. And God wants to give you a new mind. God wants to change your life. You cannot be changed until you change your mind. See, Jesus came to give us a new life, church. He came to give us new life. Jesus Christ came to give you the power to change. The Bible says we can do all things in Christ. Some of you know that, you know, this year I started going to the gym and I had a revelation. I saw myself from a funny angle and it just wasn't the angle I wanted. And so as I saw myself in that angle, I got a divine revelation from God. It was like an epiphany, like Paul on the road. I was struck off my donkey. And I said to myself, yeah, I'm gonna go gym now. So I said, this was back in January, February, March, April, May, about May time. I said, I'm gonna go gym every day from Monday to Friday. I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna be in the gym at 7 o'clock. And something said to me, you can't do that. You won't stick to it. And you know, and some of you are gonna think this is nuts. You can't, this isn't the answer. You know what I said to myself? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And some of you are like, religious. Because you think that's just what we put on a card. Or a meme, whatever you call it, or on our statements, on our statuses, or our statements, bank statement. I could do all things. That's 491, man. That's what we know what brothers put that on their statement. Hallelujah. I could do all things. That's at the end of an email. I'm looking for someone to invest there. Anyway, let's move on. So I was like, no, I can do it. See, when you give yourself to Christ, he wants to give you back the power. See, some of you feel that when you get saved, you're going to lose power, lose control, be controlled. No. You gain power. You gain control because the Bible says who the Son sets free is truly free. See, you're now free to be truly human. See, without Christ, you're less human. You're more like an animal. You're stuck in a rut. Animals live by instinct. You see that lion chasing that deer? You're like, don't you? The lion just grabs the deer, rips it. Blood is everywhere. And they're just looking at you. And you're like, wicked. No, it's not wicked. It's nature. A lion is never going to be like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do this, man. What has he done to me, man? No, I'm not feeling this, you know. No, that's wicked. No, you're a bad man. A lion can't do that. Because it's his nature, but we can reflect upon ourselves, analyze ourselves, look at where we're going and say, no, we better course correct. We better change. because that's what humans are. And when you become to Christ, you become truly human, truly what God meant you to be. See, Jesus tells us in Mark 2, verse 22, he says, no one puts new wine into old skins, wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Jesus is saying there's a problem when you try to put old in new. We did a Real Disciple recording with Pastor Brandon Friday, and we'll put it out in about a couple of weeks' time. But it was good, and you get insight. It's very good insight. And Pastor Brandon was saying this funny thing. He said when he first met me, I had a drug dealing car. He said I looked like I was a drug dealer in the car. And one of his friends said I was handing out flyers for a day rave. I was handing out Christian flyers. And so it's so funny to hear what people thought about me. But he was telling me his testimony, and it's quite, he said, and I didn't know this, and that's why it's informative. He said he got saved on a Sunday. He got saved on a Sunday, came into church. We probably only had about 20, 30, 40, 50 people, maybe if that. I don't even think that many. 30 people. He came into church, and he came in to suss out what was going on, and he came to that Sunday, and he got saved. And then he said, the next day, he was going on a lad's holiday. He said he was going to Napa. You guys know what that is, yeah? I don't have to explain anymore. Please tell me. Say amen. I don't have to go any further. Amen. If you don't know, And so, ask somebody. And so he says, so here he is now. Sunday he got saved. Monday he's flying out. This holiday was obviously pre-booked. That wasn't like inspired. He got saved. No, I need to go. And so this was already pre-booked. So he goes there now. And he says, as he arrives there, you know, there's just, yeah, ladies and guys, they want to do things and all of this stuff. And he says, something in him said no. So he's there with all his friends, his brothers, but he said, I can't do this. See, something, even though no one has told him anything yet. I didn't know him. I never said nothing to him yet. But when he's become genuinely saved, really saved, he didn't just come to church, he got saved. He started to realize, Brandon, you can't put the old into this new thing. You can't, listen, we don't need you to clap. We're going to preach to you. You can't put this old into this new thing. See, Jesus says, if you're trying to put old things into new things, you're going to cause problems for yourself. People are trying to paste the old way of doing relationships into the new. You're still looking for the same guy you would have looked for before you were saved. The way you look for a guy, this guy's got, he's got a rep. He's got a six-pack. He's got a Gucci belt, praise God. A guy asked me yesterday, Pastor, what do you have against the Gucci belt? Listen, bring your Gucci belts to church. We don't care. I got nothing against it. Somebody's just gone, Sunday. We got nothing against it. Listen, man, if you earn it legally, it's yours and you do whatever you want with it. I don't care. But I want to tell you, listen, if you're just looking at that Gucci belt, I want that guy. Huh? Listen, you better be careful because you don't know what kind of character he's got. And now you're seeing that belt around his waist, you start dating him, he put that belt around your neck. Yeah. And so you're like, Pastor, we don't want that. That's horrific. That's right. So now you don't just copy the way you look for a guy in the world, come in the church and paste it into the church. You need to say, no, I need a man who's got some character. I need a man who's got some righteous character. A man that will keep his fingers off me until he says, I do, and we will. Yeah? You want to touch this? You want to touch these? You want to kiss these? Then you better go and buy some rings. Yeah, you better book a hall. You better give me some money to buy a dress. Listen, because this is new. You're trying to copy and paste. We don't want no copy and paste up in here. We want you to write an original one now. The Spirit is here, man. The Spirit is here. I've touched onto something here, man. Hallelujah. This feels like another level now. I better wind it down. Amen. Think about this now. A guy. Come on, guys. We know what we were looking for in the world. We know what we were looking for in the world. So you copy that. You're saved now. Paste. Pastor, that's the one. Does she pray? That's the one. Does she read her Bible? That's the one. You see, you're going to cause problems, man. You're going to cause problems for yourself. What about conflict resolution? How many know in the world, someone you got beef with someone, then you've got to take it up a notch? See, listen, if you're sophisticated here, we apologize. We should, I know not everybody's, but let's just keep it real. Most of us, if you've got beef with me, then I've got to take it up a notch. I've got to show you I'm not an idiot. In the old days, some of the old school, old heads will realize, listen, you're not taking liberties with me. Don't take liberties. See, got some old righteous heads in the house. They know where I'm at. I'm speaking to my people. Amen. And so this is how you would operate. It's like beef for beef. Eye for an eye. It's biblical. See, that's how we would operate. It's conflict resolution. It's like, what? What did they say? They said, what? Bring my game face. But that's how you did it in the world. Too many times people come into the kingdom, they're copying and they're pasting. You're trying to resolve beef with aggression. That little part there starts to, what? You know that little thing there? When that little thing there is going, listen, some of us, we need to pray for that little thing there. Just pray for that. Loosen. Let them go. Oh, I'm free. There's too much of that sometimes. Look what he says here in the Bible. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. He says, all of you think like this. Having compassion one for another. Loving. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Now, listen. This is where we got to write a whole new thing. There's no room for copy and paste. Not returning evil for evil. Not reviling for reviling. Reviling means you're an idiot. No, you're the idiot. No. You're an idiot. Jesus loves you. You're a waste. Jesus loves you. See, there's different. See, so many times, are you copying the old in the new? It's not going to work. Remember, Jesus says, that's not going to work. That's going to cause you problems. He says, but on the contrary, blessing. That's what he wants you to do. Bless people, knowing, your mind again, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Why am I not blessed? Because you're just copying and pasting. You can't put the old in the new. If you want a blessing, you've got to put the new in the new. What about our value system? We want to be at the top. And we do that by projecting, I know more than everybody. I can afford more clothes than everybody. I'm higher than everybody. I'm stronger than everybody. And because we want, that's how we go around life. That's how life was about. Whether you're ghetto, then it's like, I've got more girls than people and I can beat up everybody. Okay, forget that. But listen, you could be here and you're very posh and it's be like, well, I went to this school and this college. It's always, yeah, I'm above people because basically I need others to recognize me and serve me. And that's when I've arrived. The more people I can get that can serve me, then I've arrived. And that's how people do. Even in the kingdom of God, people can come in and they want authority and position so that they can be above others. You're bringing the old into the new. Look what Jesus said to his disciples, because they were trying to paste the old into the new. Mark 9, verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12. He had to call his main men, his disciples. And he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. He says, listen, Jesus says, in my economy, if you want to be at the top, then serve more. Serve more people, love more people. That's how you do. What we're seeing, this is totally different. You see, the reason why the Jews would not receive Jesus is because they were trying to paste the old into the new. And they missed Jesus. And there could be some of you here, God has called you, God wants to save you. Maybe you're not saved already, but God is calling you. But the problem is you're trying to paste the old. You're trying to copy the old and paste it into the new, and you miss Jesus. You know, I've only recently started to get onto social media and understand things, and I'm looking at people's Instagram, and sometimes you have things like a loop. You see that people go, See, I did it quick before you got your phones out, because you would have looped me. And so people are on a loop. You see this thing, they're doing a loop, and it's funny because they're on a loop. Some people's lives are like this. They're just on a loop. See, it's funny to look at for like a few seconds, but how many know I can't look at a loop for an hour? That would be like really weird. You can't, you know, watch a loop. And I want to tell you, it's funny for a few seconds, but if you're stuck in a loop, your life, you're going to start feeling like, where am I going? What's happening? This is why some people, I've been here for this long. Where's my life going? Because maybe you're in a loop. Because some of us, we're trapped in a loop from the old mind. Sometimes bad things have happened to people. I think we could all say, to some degree, we've all experienced some bad things. How many know that? And I'm not belittling this. This is not I'm not being jovial here. I'm being serious. Some of you have experienced trauma and abuse and hurt and violation that I maybe could not even imagine. You've gone through things that have traumatized you, traumatic, and they're in your past. But I want to tell you, the problem with the old mind is the old mind keeps copying that hurt and pasting it into new days. See, the old mind, it keeps copying that hurt. You look back at that hurt, and now you're pasting it. Some people have let you down. Some people you've gone through tough things. You keep copying that hurt, that mistake. Some of you have made mistakes. You keep copying that and pasting it into your future. And the problem is with that is that that's ruining your life. You're in a loop. See, when something bad happens to you or someone does something to you and you hold on to it for multiple days, so it happens to you on Monday, you get up, you paste it into Tuesday. You paste it into Wednesday. Like, during Wednesday, so many good things happen in your life, but you still keep pasting that one thing, and it starts to color everything. And your mind is consumed by it. You do it for days, it becomes a mood. You're like in a mood. Hey, what's going on? Yes. Whatever, yeah. All right, yeah, cool. You're in a mood. See, if you do that for months, it starts to become your temperament. It's now your temperament. This is kind of like your go-to now. You do that for years, it's become your personality. It's become who you are. It's your character. It's your life. It's your defining. It's how everybody knows you. Because God wants to give you a new life. He wants to change you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to fly. But you keep taking that thing, and it's become your defining, and you're pasting it in every day. And when you look in the mirror, you look at that thing, and when you look at others, you look at that thing. That's how you judge everybody and everything. See, that mind is not a mind of revival and future. That's why the future scares some of you. That's why when you look forward, it's just survival mode. I want to tell you, this is a very, very dangerous place to be, because this mind is survival. It's not free. It's closed in. It's always watching out. It's always suspicious. And what it will produce, it produces amplified anger. It produces aggression. It produces hostility, hatred, worry, guilt, shame, a lack of compassion. You're stuck in a loop. And this is what's being produced out of your life because you're stuck in your loop. And this is scientific fact that if you constantly live in this state of stress, your body will start to produce diseases. We're not made for long-term stress. You can handle spikes of adrenaline to get you out of danger. You was crossing the road, a car nearly hit you, you jump out of the way so quick you didn't even think about it. The body can handle that. Your heart rate's bumping and then it goes back. It's normal. But if you're constantly anxious, your body is constantly here. Your body, you know what it starts to do? It's gonna start to produce diseases because you was not meant to live like this. And science and tests and all of the facts produce this. What God wants to give you is a new mind. When I was a kid, I used to like playing games, like electronic games. We didn't have FIFA when I was a kid or Call of Duty. We just had like Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. Amen. And we'd have these games, and sometimes these games would have levels. And you couldn't get to the next level until you had beaten the boss at the end of the level. And so sometimes what it is someone had got to the end, and then we would say he clocked the game. He got right to the end, he clocked it. I tell you, I clocked that. And he got a code. And so anytime he wanted to play, he puts his code in, and all the levels are open. And you can go to any level you want. You don't have to do it now. And people would give people levels. I want to tell you today, the Bible says that he says in Peter 1 verse 14, this is how we should live, as obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust, so don't copy and paste, as in your ignorance. And so to be ignorant means I don't know it. And so when you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ, you only have one mind. That's the old mind. You can try to do this and try to do that. You have the old mind. Until you accept Christ, the new mind doesn't open up. See, there is another mind, which is the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." See, the only way you're really going to have a new mind is that Jesus lived, died on the cross, resurrected, and now he has given you his new mind. He's basically clocked the game, and now he's opened up a whole new avenue of life, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of understanding everything. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 18, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. I can't be redeemed with the old life, like silver and gold from aimless conduct received by the traditions of my fathers. He says, tradition means what I used to do. It's a tradition. It's the old thing. He says, we can't be redeemed by the old. He says, I'm redeemed by the new thing, looking to Christ. See, our redemption, the word redeemed means to be purchased back, really comes from the cross of Christ. When Jesus died upon the cross, he purchased for us a new life, a new hope, and a new mind. That means as I go through life, I come up problems. I've got problems like you got problems. I've got situations like you got situations. But what I look back to is I look back to the cross. I don't go to my old ways. I just look at the cross. And as I come up against a new problem, the mind of Christ is looking to the cross. That's what the mind of Christ is. So when I come up against situations that just seem bleak and I'm struggling, I look at the cross and I copy the cross thinking and I paste it into that situation. And what happens is I've now got peace because I know God's going to work it out. I know God's going to work it out. See, what I do is when I come up against a situation, and some of you be like, how come Christians, we talked about it last week, but how come a Christian can have a problem but still have joy? He comes up against his problem, he just looks back to the cross, he don't look back to his past, he don't look back to his old ways, he don't look back to the old mind, he just looks back to the cross where Jesus died for him and rescued him and defeated death. He copies, he pastes it into that situation, and now he has joy. Because even if this thing destroys everything, God can raise it all back up again. Because I'm copying and pasting the cross. My thinking is about the cross. This is how I can come up against you and you can be like, you're an idiot, you're a waste man. And I can look back at the cross and Jesus says, Courtney, when you was my enemy, I loved you. I want to copy that. I love you. I paste love. That means when I look to the cross, I have peace in my mind. When I look to the cross, I have joy in my soul. When I look to the cross, I have love in my heart. I have a new way of living. I have a new mind. If you want a new life, you got to have a new mind. Jesus wants to make us brand new. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.